Well, ultimately, the financial goal is to increase rents. And if you're going to increase the rents, you've got to give more value for that. And so they're really going in and trying to, hey, we're going to actually fix all the problems that, you know, maintenance issues and things that have been delayed or haven't been done, or we're going to do things to make it a safer neighborhood for you and your family. We're going to make this, you know, a better place to host your family and host friends and a place that you want to live.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show today. I'm super excited. You're going to love our guest, Jared Williams from Biblical Wealth Solutions. Jared, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Suja, for having me on the show.
Awesome. So everyone, Jared is the leading expert on investing for cash flow using biblical and non-Wall Street investments. He has served hundreds of stewardship-minded Christians from around the world to enhance their wealth, protect their families, increase their cash flow, and impact others through investing. With years of hands-on experience using his biblical and better approach and five stages to financial freedom, he is highly respected by CEOs, doctors, engineers, and high-performing sales professionals who are passionate about being faithful stewards. His insights have been featured on multiple top industry podcasts, such as The Real Estate Syndication Show, Inspired Stewardship, and Kingdom REI. As a biblical wealth strategist, he equips families to become financially free and experience the flexibility to do all that God has uniquely called them to do. Well, that is very awesome, Jared. Thanks so much. Why don't you take us back in time, give us some color on what drew you into this space?
Yeah, well, like most people in the financial industry, it was not on purpose. I didn't, you know, set out with this career goal in mind. In fact, my background was in social work, and the hope for that was to ultimately be doing career missions and living overseas somewhere else. And I'll keep that part of the story short, but just, you know, got married, had children, life happened, and that didn't end up going, you know, the way that I planned to. And so it was right before my first daughter was born that I was realizing I was going to need to make a change. You know, we weren't making enough money to have a growing family and my wife to be able to stay home and homeschool, which was an eventual goal and what we're doing today. And so a friend of mine introduced me to a company in the financial industry. And so I spent several years in the insurance side of the industry, and then later was introduced to this idea of biblically responsible investing, which was a completely new concept for me. And just briefly, that means that we were helping investors invest into special mutual funds that have been screened to make sure it didn't include companies that were supporting or profiting from just various activities that don't align, you know, with their Christian values. And so that was how I got into the more investment side of the world and began doing that full time for families. And that went great for several years. But as I continued spending more and more time with families, I realized that, you know, while we were helping them, you know, be better stewards and be better aligning their money with their values, there were a lot of other financial needs and financial problems that, you know, just moving money from these funds to these funds weren't helping. And, you know, mutual funds is what I mean there. And so then it really began a journey of trying to figure out how can I, you know, best help folks. And I began seeing lots of problems with what I call the typical financial approach, which is putting most of your money in 401ks and IRAs and keeping it there for 30 years and dollar cost averaging and hoping that it works out, hoping you have enough when you get to retirement. And so looking for solutions, and that ultimately led me into more non-Wall Street investments and specifically various types of real estate investing.
So just real quick, Jared, I just want to pause for a second in your story because I think this is super interesting about you. So you were essentially, were you a financial planner?
Yeah, I mean, and I still am today. We still do that. I just use a very different approach in it. So I'm a licensed investment advisor is probably a better term. And I help people with, you know, comprehensive approach to their finances and manage investment portfolios and things of that nature. But I much prefer to do it a bit of an unusual way, I guess, for typical investment advisors.
Okay. Yeah. And I just would love for you to expand on why was that you kind of got sort of maybe disillusioned with or the sort of typical approach and how that led you into real estate syndications.
Yeah. So several years ago, I forget what year it was now, but I ended up inheriting about 95 clients, which is a really unusual thing to happen. But a company I was with, they changed broker dealers and I had to change broker dealers along with them. And I'm no longer a part of a broker dealer, but I was at the time. And so they called me up and I said, hey, we have about 95 families. And the advisor that used to work with them passed away about 3 years ago. And they've just been house accounts and they don't have anybody that's working with them. Would you like to have these clients? And of course, you always say yes to that question. And so over about 6 months, I was having multiple conversations a week with these clients and almost all of them were retired or very near retirement age. So they weren't starting out. You know, they had lived a lot of life by that point. And so just getting to hear these stories over and over and over and seeing that, you know, some of them things that, you know, they were doing well, some of them really weren't and they were struggling and some were kind of in between, but all of them had life go, you know, unexpected from what they planned. You know, it never worked out the way they expected it to. And I kept hearing, you know, like we thought we were on track to have X dollars, you know, when we were 30 or 40. And now, you know, we're here and we don't have anywhere near X dollars, but we did all the right things and nothing even necessarily went wrong. And we just don't know what happened. And at the time, I didn't know what happened either. I didn't have good answers for them. And so it really bothered me. And so I was, you know, doing a lot of investigating behind the scenes, like spending, you know, nights and weekends and stuff, researching and building spreadsheets and, you know, trying to figure out what had happened. And ultimately, I found that there were a number of issues, but some of the really hidden, what I called definite risks. So not maybe risks, but definite losses or definite risks, things that people didn't realize were happening, but were happening to them was, you know, the impact of stock market volatility over long periods of time, not even crashes, but just the normal ups and downs really had a huge impact on investor returns. And then fees, you know, normal investment advisor fees, like I was getting paid and, you know, mutual fund companies and other fees tend to stack up on each other. And it had a huge impact. And it showed me why they could punch into a calculator online while they were on track to have X, or a financial planner could tell them you're on track to have X. But when they didn't, when they, you know, were just using a calculator and not real life volatility and real life fees, it would cut their, you know, their end result in half. I mean, half their wealth was gone due to these things that they had been set up, you know, to happen to them from the very beginning. And so I was seeking to find solutions to those problems. And now, you know, there's more problems that I'm aware of. And you know, I think real estate's a good solution to many of those as well. But that's what really drove me to, okay, we can't just rely on mutual funds and our IRAs or our 401ks. There has to be a better way. We've got to, you know, avoid volatility, not risk, but avoid this volatility and find better ways of paying fees or getting more for our money if we are going to be paying fees for something.
Awesome. Thank you for explaining that. And I definitely feel aligned with that approach. I want to take us back to something that you were mentioning before, which was the biblical wealth approach or the strategy for sort of responsible investing. I know that was an important part of what you were doing and still is. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, happy to. So it is fairly simple. The reality is, and most people had never thought about this, and this was something that I had never thought about either. I was introduced to this idea. But, you know, the vast majority of Americans are investing in the stock market, and a large number of those companies, especially the large companies, which are the more quote unquote safe ones that people are invested in, they're involved in various different ways with, you know, activities that I would consider to be unbiblical. The big three for me were abortion, pornography, and addiction, that they're either supporting those things or they're profiting from those things. Not everyone aligns with those values, but those were important values to me and important values to my clients. And so we were using funds that had a screening process behind them so that they were excluding those companies and building mutual funds around the companies that they weren't necessarily Christian companies. I mean, I could get on soapbox if that's not even really a thing. You know, people can be Christians, not companies, but at least they weren't involved in these things that we felt really, you know, didn't align with our values or that we did not feel we would want to be profiting from. You know, I didn't want to be profiting every time someone, you know, purchased pay-per-view from a cable provider or whatever. You know, I didn't want to be making money from that. I'd rather be making money from something that I felt was, you know, benefiting society and good for everyone involved. So that was the idea of biblically responsible investing. And it was largely, you know, avoiding the bad. And as I thought more about that, I realized that I think an equally important, if not more important piece is doing good with our investments. And so this was a little bit later, but as I began learning more about, you know, real estate investing specifically and other types of off Wall Street investments, I realized that like my money and my investors' money could have a direct positive impact, could really be a blessing to others in that process. I'm not just buying secondary shares that are traded all the time on the stock market, but money is going to this property, this project, this organization that is using it to bless the lives of others and truly have impact. And so for me, that was kind of like biblical investing 2.0, you know, over what I had been thinking about prior to. So now it's, you know, when I think of biblical investing, I think of stewardship and impact in whatever we're investing. I really feel like there's no reason that it's not a win-win for everyone. If someone is being harmed in the process, I'm not interested, because there's plenty of great ways to make money out there and serve all parties involved.
Awesome. And I'd love for you to expand on what it is you feel, you know, the impact that you see multifamily syndications, the potential impact that has positive on people's lives.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done numerous episodes on this, so it's very multifaceted. So obviously, in multifamily investing specifically, when you take over a property, most often there has been some sort of mismanagement or undermanagement. Things are probably not going as well as they could. And so at a really basic level, you know, new operators are trying to, they're trying to thrill the tenants. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. The goal, ultimately, the financial goal is to increase rents. And if you're going to increase the rents, you've got to give more value for that. And so they're really going in and trying to, hey, we're going to actually fix all the problems that, you know, maintenance issues and things that have been delayed or haven't been done, or we're going to do things to make it a safer neighborhood for you and your family. We're going to make this, you know, a better place to host your family and host friends and a place that you want to live. And so just increasing quality of life is impact there. There's likely going to be jobs created in that process. As you increase rents and you provide a higher level of service, you're going to need, you know, better managers or more managers or people to do that work. And so jobs are created in that. Properties are renovated and made, like I said, nicer and safer, you know, for families to live in. There are some operators out there who take that even farther and really see, you know, their properties as, you know, as a platform to be an intentional blessing to others. And so I know of an organization called Apartment Life where they will work with the operators and they'll plant, you know, they'll plant a family there who's in charge of making life better for everybody else. And so they'll plan social events and they'll really get to know their now neighbors and other tenants in there and, you know, help meet needs. If a family's having a hard time, you know, they can provide resources. They can just be someone to talk to and meet with them. And they do a lot of things to try to help be a blessing to those people. And unsurprisingly to me, when you know, go out of your way to treat others really, really well and do the best you can for them, it has a positive impact on bottom line. They've got some studies and things and that can show that that actually increases profitability for the operator as well while you're giving and serving others.
Awesome. Thanks so much for going over all of that. You know, I totally think it's so important to, that we can improve lives and really have an impact when we go into these communities. And I love that we can do good with our investors. We can help have like more and more impact in the world. So
yeah,
I know, Jared, that you are working on a fund. Can you talk about what the benefits of investing in a fund are for people who are considering that?
Yeah. So I'm in the process of opening my first private real estate fund. This particular fund, this first one, will be focused on multifamily only. And it has been an enormous challenge and a lot of work to do. So the reason I decided to go the fund route, there were two primary reasons. You know, I had a number of investors who I have helped, you know, invest in various types of off Wall Street investments over the years. But in the last couple of years, many of them have made investments into, you know, direct multifamily syndications. And so far, those have been good investments, but there were two problems that I saw with it that I wanted to solve. And the first was that, you know, as you know, most of the investments are, you know, have a $50,000, $100,000 minimum. And I've got clients where that's not an issue and they can invest in all kinds of them. But I've got a lot of clients who are, you know, 30 or 40, and that's a pretty decent chunk of change or a lot of their portfolio. And so it's difficult for them to be diversified. And while obviously we're looking at investing with really good operators, and I think it is a great multi-class or a great asset class, you never know what, you know, disaster may befall, what may go wrong. And so I wanted to help them if they've only got 50,000 or 100,000 or 150,000 or whatever to invest. I wanted to have as much diversification as possible and really reduce the risk. And, you know, the numbers on that are pretty incredible, how much risk reduction can come from just a small amount of diversification in a fund. The other challenge was that most of my clients were, you know, busy dads. And so they had, you know, busy careers, families, young kids at home. And the way, I mean, I'm sure your listeners know, the way that it works when you're trying to invest in a syndication is you're on the list and you get a text or an email out of the blue. You have no idea it's coming. You know, just get the email, hey, we're open. You know, some operators fill up in 24 hours, 48 hours. I've sent, you know, one a few weeks ago filled up in 3 hours, you know, that they closed the doors. And so you have to be really ready to pull the trigger and at least make that, you know, soft commitment. And you're not on the hook or obligated at that point, but you still only have 2 weeks maybe to really do all your due diligence, to read the PPM, to watch the webinars, to have the, you know, investor calls and all the things that you should be doing, you know, in order to make a prudent investment. And for my clients, that was really challenging. And frankly, it was challenging for me to try to help, you know, keep up and be like, hey, did you see this? Did you need to schedule a call? You know, I can't be too involved, you know, legally, I couldn't be too closely involved in that, you know, sales aspect of it. And so a fund would allow them to make a single investment with me where we don't have that time crunch. You know, we can take weeks or a couple of months and really do the due diligence and ask all the questions, and it'd be a more simple, convenient process. And then they're obviously getting most of the reward with way less risk through the fund model. So that is what had led me to go down that route.
Makes sense. Yeah. Would you speak to, I just want you to expand on this sort of like protective power of diversification through the fund. Is that, did you pretty much sum it up, or is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I can put some numbers to it. It's a little difficult to understand if you're not actually looking at it, but it's really helpful to see some numbers there. So I made a spreadsheet to take a look at this, and I know again, listeners won't be able to see it, but I can, you know, describe it pretty quickly. And I think that will help to make sense there. So I made a spreadsheet that compared a single property investment with a fund investment. And so this is obviously hypothetical, but imagine that the single syndication is expecting to make 100% return over 5 years, you know, 20% annual average cash flow. That's pretty typical. And let's say that the fund, after its own, you know, fees and, you know, additional sponsor compensation, everything, is going to make 80% over time. So, you know, obviously that's where you're getting most of the reward, but you do have to give up some of the reward to get, you know, the protective aspect of diversification in a fund. So if everything went according to plan, obviously you were better off being in a single investment and making 100% return versus in a fund and making, you know, again, hypothetically 80%, you know, in that fund. But what if, you know, a single investment underperformed by 50%? So it didn't lose, it just only did half of what you thought it would. So now your investment, your return on a single investment is 50%. With a fund, if one of five, let's say five investments are in that fund, they're all equal. You know, if one of them underperforms by 50%, you still have 72% return versus, you know, what would have been 80. It's a fairly small loss versus a 50% loss with a single investment. You know, if a single investment, you know, something went bad, say they got below a certain occupancy level and, you know, they lost the property altogether. Actually, that'd probably be an even bigger loss. But let's say that it returned principal only. It didn't actually lose, but you only got your principal back. You didn't make any gains on it. You have a 0% return. You know, you got your principal back. If that happened inside of a fund, you still have a positive 64%, you know, total return over that time frame. In fact, it takes 3 out of 5 of the holdings of the investments to completely lose everything before you have an actual loss. If, you know, unthinkable happened and 2 out of 5, you know, lost everything, you still have a positive return, much and all of your money back. It would take 3 of 5 before you actually have a loss. And even then, it's a relatively small loss. And so that is what I mean when I'm talking about the protective power of diversification. A whole lot has to go wrong in order to actually lose money. So it's very, very strong for preserving capital, which, you know, one of my kind of mantras I tell people all the time is, you know, we can win by not losing. So I really want to make sure we don't lose first, and then we'll get as much gain on top of that as possible.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a really awesome breakdown of why it's important, or what the benefits of investing in multiple assets are, and being able to spread, you know, a smaller investment, whether it's $25,000 or even $50,000, out amongst, you know, 5 different properties.
Yeah.
So thank you for breaking that down in the numbers. And yeah, so Jared, I am so glad that we got to have you on the show. Is there anything else that you'd like to, what's one takeaway that you'd like our list to leave with our listeners?
I assume people listening to this are interested in multifamily investing. So I would just encourage them to do their due diligence and see, you know, what mechanisms there are for, you know, reducing that risk. I mean, I'm biased, obviously, but I think, you know, regardless of who it is, if you can find a fund to invest with or do it yourself, you know, if you have the capital and you have the time, have multiple syndications in your portfolio, I think that's well worth the time. Every investment looks great on paper or you wouldn't invest in it. It's when things don't go according to plan. And I've seen that happen, you know, not in multifamily specifically, but I know it does. And I've seen it in other investments. So, you know, I think that being willing to go off Wall Street, first of all, and then diversify that risk is a great part of the strategy.
Awesome. Okay, Jared. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I would love to shine the spotlight on you. Will you please tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and anything else you'd like to share?
Sure. The easiest way to learn more about what I do is at my podcast. It's the Biblical Wealth Podcast. So you can search for that in any kind of podcast player. Again, the Biblical Wealth Podcast. And my website is biblicalwealthsolutions.com. And so that should have all the most up-to-date, you know, services and things that we do and education that we provide. Again, biblicalwealthsolutions.com.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all reach out to Jared. Thanks so much, Jared, for coming on the show. See you next time.
Thanks, Suja.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.